Welcome everyone to another edition of the Dress of a Watch podcast.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Very good, very good. How are you?
I'm perfect. Awesome, man. Thanks.
No problem. Thanks for agreeing to do this.
No worries. My pleasure. It's always nice to be doing something in those times where everybody's more at home and relaxes. Yeah. It's nice. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I thought I've been doing this for 2 months now, and I had the same thought, basically. I just wanted to share the passion and to talk to people while sitting at home. So
that's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It's been a lot of fun. So how's life? Where are you right now? Are you in London or?
No, so I made my way back to Switzerland to be with my family.
Yeah.
My home too, this is where I was born and raised. So I feel very much, you know, at home here. I'm in Lausanne right now, the city I grew up in, small town near Geneva. And it's sunny, it's nice, it's quiet, it's Switzerland. Everything you can expect from here. How about you? Where are you?
Very cool. Yeah, I'm actually in Vienna.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
How's the situation there? Good? Getting better?
It's okay. We've just started to open up again. Shops and bars have opened. That's quite nice. The weather is good. People are enjoying themselves outside, so that's cool.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've never been to Vienna, but I've heard so many positive feedbacks from friends of mine that have been there. I'm looking. It's probably one of my next destinations.
Yeah, if you ever come, let me know. I'd be happy to show you around.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Pierre, I know you're on a tight schedule.
So a little bit. I still have a bit of time, but.
So we'll just start right off. I always try these interviews, or the interviews mainly focus around the stories behind the passion for watches. So what I wanted to ask you is, how did this fascination become very much part of your life, and how did it evolve?
So it's actually an interesting question, because compared to other, you know, watch enthusiasts, I didn't really need to go out and, you know, be curious about it, because growing up with a father working in the watch industry, I had watches all day, all night, all the time, even on holidays, always business meetings, you know, colleagues of my father, prototypes at home. You know, it was always watches and horology was around me ever since I can remember. So for the better part of my life, I wasn't really into watches. You know, they were just some accessories. You know, my father, I didn't really understand. I didn't really grasp the full, you know, what watches were. And what changed is that when I was 18, I was about to graduate, so get my diploma from high school in Switzerland. It's called the Swiss Maturité. And one day before my exams, my father said, you know, Pierre, you should come around and, you know, come see something in the collection, because we had the safe in our old house where we, you know, sometimes he'd show me a few pieces. And so I went down, and he got out an old Blancpain, one of the very first annual calendars, super nice watch, and he gave it to me. He said, look, this is a gift for your graduation, and I had not even yet passed my exam, so he put a lot of pressure on me to succeed, and he gave me that watch. And ever since, I started wearing it, you know, and I suddenly fell in love with wearing watches, what they meant. And I hadn't realized, but all my life, in my subconscious nearly, you know, we were talking about watches, and I had gathered information, and when the passion actually came, it was really, really natural.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't think anyone can imagine the pieces you were able to see when you were growing up. But I think, I had the pleasure of meeting your father once at Basel, and I send him my best regards. I mean, it was a big pleasure of mine. I'm a big fan as well. Love what he did. And I think we need more creativity in the watch industry, and we see it with the independents, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and thanks for the kind words. It means a lot to me. You know, my father, knowing him very personally, I know he puts a lot of heart into always, you know, being there and available for people when, you know, they come meet him or whatever. So I'm always really happy that people had good experiences with him.
Yeah. But for me, it's more interesting to hear what you have to say, because I think with all the pieces you've seen that you might have developed, or I'm sure you have developed your own passion, your own criteria in terms of watches, what you like, what you don't like. So what are the things that you see in watches, or what excites you?
So, you know, I just before getting into that subject, there's something that a mentor, which I'm happy to call a friend of mine, which I had my first job with in London, James Marks, head of Philips and Philips watches in London. He always said, you know, when he was talking to clients or even to me, he always said, you know, watch collecting is a journey. It can't come at once. It can't end at once. It's really something you develop over time. And I'm starting to feel that now that I'm about, 2 years, 2 years and a half into very passionate watch enthusiast. You know, at first I was really into everything of course, sports watches, because they're the trend, you know, Daytona, yeah. Submariner for Rolex, of course, Nautilus, Rolex, all those sports models that are really in trend right now. They're, of course, beautiful watches. And I was into that at first, and then I started being curious about particular models. You know, I have a big appreciation of the 16520 Zenith powered Rolex Daytona, which has, fabulous history. They've tweaked it a lot, so it's really highly collectible. But furthermore, what I seek now in watches is focused on, you know, I think independents are really on the rise, as you mentioned. They're really the new creatives of this generation's watch industry. They make so much, and they help improve the actual, you know, they help improve the bigger, you know, like they help improve the mavericks of the watch industry. And by the little touches they bring, by the new style there, you know, they're bringing, I'm a huge fan of F.P. Jern, Recep Recepi.
Yeah.
You know, all these brands, I think they're doing a great job. For on my side, I have something really kind of weird about myself collecting, is that I love and nearly only have watches that have integrated bracelets or metal bracelets.
Okay.
I don't know. That's cool. Even if it's a, I don't have any for the moment, but even if it would be a Grand Complication or a Resonance, imagine from François Paul Journe, or, you know, even the craziest Richard Mille, I don't know why I have something that I want to collect and have a collection with only metal braceleted watches. There are a few exceptions, like the watch I'm wearing now, which is a 5065
Nice.
Aquanaut that has a nice, rubber bracelet. I don't want the integrated bracelet because I don't really like the look of it, but but I think we're really heading to complication, like watches that, have a certain horological importance to them, but at the same time that can be wearable, sporty, because nowadays I feel like most people want to be able to wake up in the morning, take their watch up, put it on, do their routine, shower, whatever, and spend the whole day and just put it down when they go to sleep. So obviously case metals, steel is a good choice because it's more robust. Although, I am a huge fan of rose gold in particular. I love any watches in rose gold. I think they look fab. But I really see watches going to complication, but still wearable. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say.
I see where you're going at. For me, it's the in terms of the metal bracelets, for me, it's the total opposite. I'm a total strap guy. I take off every metal bracelet I get on a watch. So today I'm wearing a Daytona as well, but as you can see, it on a Stingray bracelet, a strap.
It looks just as good. I mean, but it's also very personal. I always say, people should buy what they love. People should trust themselves with their heart, and watches are meant to be enjoyed, right?
Definitely.
Especially not to tell the time.
No, definitely not. And probably not to be kept in a box somewhere and never worn. If you have a watch, I'm a big, I just wrote an article on dress watches, and I'm a big fan as well that you just have to wear your watch and just not leave it lying anywhere.
I think, and that's also because, to be honest, I come more from the vintage perspective of watches for the moment. It's what I enjoy most. As I worked for Philips, which is an auction house, we dealt more into that, even though we had modern pieces and independence, which I love. But I think that lots of the market is shifting to what you said, you know, to wear watches that you can actually wear, because some watches, you know, historically important watches, one of three unique Patek Philippe or whatever, I understand that you want to protect it. But, you know, most of the watches you find out there, they're meant to be enjoyed and loved. And often, you know, people say, oh, well, the watches that, you know, that are the most pristine and in the best conditions, you know, were they just stored in a safe? Yes, some was, but some others were just actually cherished. And if you give it enough love, wearing your watch isn't going to really be a problem, or it isn't going to affect it that much.
True. Do you remember your first watch?
Yeah, I remember it was a Swatch. I can't remember the exact name, but it was called like the Web or something, and it was black, and on the dial it was like the alt sign, you know?
Yeah.
Black, white dial with a red alt sign on the dial. And we recently had a Swatch event at Philips, and it was funny, I was trying to find that watch again, but I never could find the name. And that's really the first memory I have of a watch. I loved it. Always wore it.
Very cool.
And you, what was your first watch?
I actually don't remember the actual first watch I got, but I believe it was a Swatch as well, or a Flick Flack or something like that. And then I grew up in Hong Kong, actually, and every kid was wearing a Baby G. So,
yeah. Very
so I
cool.
wanted to have a G-Shock, and then at some point I got one, and I think that's it. I don't have it anymore, unfortunately.
But you can still get another one. I mean, G-Shocks are cool. All these watches, they're cool. I remember when in Switzerland, it's funny, the town where I live, you know, I used to do it also a bit of, I used to skate a bit when I was younger, 14 years old. And back then, the trend was to have Casio watches. So everybody had a different Casio watch. You know, somebody had the one with like the two pushers, someone like, the, you know, the digital ones. Some had the calculator one. It was just about that. And I remember it was cool, you know, that I also had one of these. I actually, my first like real, let's say, big watch was when I graduated. Well, there's my father's era.
Yeah.
And that watch probably is the watch that I cherish the most. Like, it's the most important to me.
Do you wear it from time to time?
Yeah, I wear it usually, like, you know, when we have birthdays or anything. It's a radio watch I like to wear to on special occasions. But it's always with me. So it means that, you know, if I'm traveling or something, I always take it with me. I don't know why. Yeah. It's like superstition.
Yeah.
It's also my lucky watch. Like when I need to have luck or something, that's the watch I wear.
Yeah. I totally understand. I have the same thing with my Migaos.
I wear it
a lot. It's the first watch I bought with my own money, or the first real watch I bought. And then, I love wearing it. I wore it for exams during my time at university. And and every time I have something big coming up at work, I usually also wear it. So.
Very cool. I mean, that's what's great about watches or anything else for that matter. It's the sense, like, emotional value you get. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do you have a favorite watch in your collection except for the Blancpain?
I think I do. Yes, I have a watch that that for me is just like a watch that I love looking at. I don't wear it that often. It's a Datejust, a 36mm Datejust, and it has a stone dial, so soda light, which is kind of bluish. All the dials that you can find on the market, they all look different. It's like, it's really a watch that I love, and I don't know why. It's just the fact of looking at it. Each time I wear it, I feel like I was in a retro movie, you know? It has like diamond hour markers, and once I wear it, it's small. It looks very like kind of blingy, but it's just, I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm in another era. I could be driving a really cool Lancet Delta Integrale or something like that with that watch, you know, nice like white suit or something. Like it makes me travel, and that's probably the reason why it's the watch I love the most.
Very cool story. And I think, do you have a couple of more minutes?
Yeah, of course. I'm free until 6, and and then at 6, I just have to go to a meeting. But
okay, fine, perfect. So how is it working at Philips?
So I left Philips in January. To come to do a few other things, other projects. So I worked there for a bit more than a year, and it was amazing. It was, you know, it's the best place to learn. The team is just wow. I mean, with so much knowledge, so much achievements that have been, you know, done over the time that Oral Bax has been there. Lots of great examples, lots of great watches to be in contact with. And I was very fortunate that working in the London office with my mentor again, James Marks, he taught me a lot. You know, we were a small team, we were three, and it was really the best opportunity. You know, I could never have dreamt better, and it was very dynamic. As we're all very passionate and, you know, huge enthusiasts, sometimes it's not only about the business, it's about, you know, what we do, why we love what we do, and it just makes things give, you know, another dimension to waking up in the morning and going to work.
Very true, yeah. Very true. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, I was very fortunate.
Yeah. And what's your biggest takeaway from working there?
I think it's to love watches, love what you're doing, and in terms of more, you know, professionally into interacting with the client or dealing with watches, I think it's really to be honest, to be transparent, and to really, you know, focus on quality of, you know, relationships, quality in terms of the product, you know, quality in terms, just give it your best, make it good, make it you know, give your 100%, and everything, you know, will pay off. And you know, sometimes you meet someone, a great person, and, you know, he shows you a watch, oh, I bought this, and maybe the watch is not that good or whatever, and you give your expertise. Never try and be polite, you know, always, you know, just say things how they are, and yes, only good can come out of that, especially in a world where it's really about the enthusiasm and the passion for the watches.
Very true, yeah. Very, very cool takeaway. And so you have been in the same situation as me and many, many other people, being locked down. And I'm sure you've looked at some cool watches as well during Indeed. The time. Is there something that you would like to add to your collection that you've seen during this phase right now? Or do you have something on the horizon?
As a new watch or as a vintage watch or whatever watch?
Whatever. Like, so, something you'd add to your collection right now that you're really obsessed with.
So I've been really eyeing. Well, now it's been a while, but there was one for sale during this lockdown. But I really want to get an F. Pigeon Centigraph Ligne S, the CTS in aluminium, which was only produced from 2011 to 2014, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know, I love the watch. It's super light. It has like a super complicated movement. The finishing, it's very Journesque, and I think it looks amazing. And I actually, the longing for one of those watches started when I was working for Philips, and we have a boutique in London called Philips Perpetual, where we do a, you know, we sell stuff all year round, all the time. And a gentleman walked in, Italian, very classy as they are usually. And he was wearing one of those, and it looked just super cool. Like the contrast between elegance and, you know, still having like a cool watch with sporty, exactly the vibe I was talking to you about earlier. Yes. And they're actually really, really hard to come across these days with the hype around F. Pigeon, especially. Yes. And the prices were still quite available. Like I could have maybe, if I had found one, I could have maybe purchased one a few weeks back. But since the recent results, the prices went up, and maybe I'll have to wait a bit longer than expected to get it.
Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, I love F. Pigeon, and I'm a big fan of the Elegant.
Yeah, very good watch. I own one of these. They're amazing.
Yeah, Do you have the 48 millimeter?
Yeah, 48 millimeter, and I have it in a coated titanium.
If I may ask, do you have a big or rather smaller wrist?
I have a rather small wrist.
And how does the 48 feel, look on the wrist? Because I'm not sure which one to pick, because I have very, very small wrists. So
I think it depends what feel you want to get from it.
Yeah.
If you want something that, you know, if my point of view on the Elegant is that it's a quirky watch. It has like, it has a movement that's intriguing, you know, being quartz, but it's still robust. You know, you can go in the shower with it. You can even go swimming with it. It has a rubber strap. So for me, it has a sports vibe. That's why I wanted to get it coated to give it more of that aspect. And I wanted it big because that's the feel I wanted with it. Now, if you want for rather like everyday going to work watch, maybe the smaller version looks a bit more elegant, depending on what strap color you put with it. Yeah. But I'd really recommend the bigger one because I think it suits more to the watch's DNA, okay, in a sense.
Okay. And if you would, I'm sorry that I'm questioning you about that, but
no
I really,
problem.
Really like it. And unfortunately, last time when I was in Hong Kong, I did not have the chance to go to the boutique and see if I could try one on. So in size, to what watch would you compare it?
It's actually quite hard to compare because, you know, as the shape is not round or square, it's rather tonal. I'd say it has kind of not a Nautilus effect, but the case shape is also kind of, you know, long, and it kind of grips your wrist quite well. So yeah, I would kind of compare it to the feel of a Nautilus, which being 42, if I'm right, the 5711, doesn't feel 42 that exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very cool. Thank you for the help.
No worries.
So in terms of watches, do you have a Grail watch, a piece that someday you'd love to own in that's like totally out of reach?
Okay, so I don't know if it's totally out of reach, but a project I have set myself is that, as you know, my father was a big Patek collector. But over the time, of course, he sold some piece, bought some pieces, is selling some pieces, is buying some pieces. But a watch he had, which he was a bit not famous for, but which was in his collection, was the 3448 Patek Philippe perpetual calendar, made in platinum, and the case was made by Hagman, which now works for with Recep Recepi. And he sold that watch, which is one of three, if I'm not mistaken. And that watch is a watch I've said that one day I would like to bring it back to the Beaver collection if one day I have the means to buy it, and if it comes to market, of course.
Yeah, very cool. I see he's in here as well.
Yeah, I just saw it.
Very cool. Pierre, I don't want to keep you any longer. Thank you very much for the talk.
You're welcome.
It's been a big, big pleasure of mine.
Thank you for the invitation. And if any time we're in, you know, in a few months, if you do that again, please let me know. It'd be a pleasure to join you again.
Yeah, would be cool. Maybe we can select a specific topic to talk around.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Cool.
Anyways, keep the good work up, and stay safe, stay at home.
Yeah, we'll do so.
See you soon.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Pierre.
Bye.
Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So that was the interview with Pierre Biver. It was a really, really cool interview. Thank you, Mr. Biver, for the kind words as well. It was a big pleasure of mine having him here, talking to him, and listening to his perspective on watches as well. It's very cool to talk to people all around the world and to share this passion for watches. Thank you all for joining in today. It's been a big pleasure of mine. If you have any questions or any suggestions for next guests on the show, please just send me a DM on Instagram and I'll be happy to answer it. Have a nice evening, everyone. Thanks for listening, and stay safe, and